Peter's full spiritual stride. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Acts 2:38-39. Every great story of faith follows a path that calls an ordinary individual to an extraordinary purpose, a path through which God and Jesus lead them, trials that test the very limits of their character and ultimately transform them into a vessel for consecrated work. Of all the biblical heroes, few journeys are as raw, relatable, and ultimately triumphant as that of the Apostle Peter. We often remember the early Peter, the impetuous fisherman, quick to declare his loyalty and just as quick to draw his sword. His walk with Jesus was an emotional roller coaster that began with profound interest when his brother Andrew declared, "We have found the Messiah." This initial interest quickly gave way to a faith fueled by deep affection, but one later marked by moments of fear, as when he faltered on the Sea of Galilee. Finally, his faith journey was plunged into the abyss of despair in the courtyard of the high priest, where the bitter tears of three denials marked his darkest hour. For many of us, this failure might have been the end of the story, but with the Lord's help, Peter recovered and leveraged it as a necessary new beginning. It was the crushing blow that prepared him for the most crucial stage of his journey, his renewal. We will explore this spiritual transformation, the period after Peter's devastating failure, when God forged him into the leader who was instrumental in building the early church. It is in this latter part of his journey, the powerful, purposeful ministry we see in the Acts of the Apostles, that Peter finally masters his emotional commitment and pairs it with a spirit-filled understanding of the Scriptures. In his story, we find a meaningful blueprint for our own faith journey, learning that our moments of deepest faith are often the very ground upon which God builds our greatest strength. A Recovery by the Seashore. Before Peter could lead the church, he first had to be remade. The process began not in a temple or a synagogue, but on the quiet shore of the Sea of Galilee, over a charcoal fire that may have painfully reminded him of the one he stood by when he denied his Lord. The risen Christ met Peter amid his failure as he had returned to the only other life he knew, fishing. This encounter is one of the most poignant moments of mentorship in all of Scripture. Jesus did not rebuke Peter for his desertion. Instead, he healed him. Three times Jesus asked, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" And three times Peter affirmed his love, his answer growing in humility with each question. With each affirmation, Jesus gave him a commission, "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep," John 21:15-17. In this simple exchange, Jesus was performing spiritual surgery. He was rebuilding what we might today call the four pillars of resilience in Peter. First, by giving him a new purpose, he restored Peter's sense of control over his future actions. Second, he showed Peter that one can not only survive failure, but also learn from it to build a stronger foundation. Third, by entrusting him with the care of his flock, Jesus affirmed that Peter mattered profoundly to the divine mission. Finally, he reminded Peter of the real strengths he possessed, not in the sword or the arm of the flesh, but in the love he held in his heart, a love that could now be repurposed into shepherd-like service. This was the dawn of Peter's renewal. His faith, which had always been rooted in the heart and in deep emotion, was now maturing. The Lord was grounding his passionate love in a clear, intellectual, and spiritual purpose. For 3 years, Peter had followed Jesus with his heart. Now he was being taught to follow with a renewed mind, prepared for a work whose scope he could not yet imagine. The Lord's patient restoration was the faith bridge that would carry Peter over the chasm of his despair and into a lifetime of effective ministry. He had failed spectacularly, but with the Master's help, he was about to make an A-plus recovery. The leader emerges, the power of Pentecost. Peter's renewal culminated 50 days after his denial in an upper room in Jerusalem. The promise of the Heavenly Father arrived as a rushing wind and tongues of fire, and the man who had cowered before a servant girl was filled with the Holy Spirit. He then stood before a multitude from every nation and preached a sermon that would change the world. His message in Acts 2 is a masterclass in this new, balanced faith. It was not merely an emotional appeal. It was a sermon of immense intellectual and spiritual insight, rooted in a confident command of the scriptures. Peter the fisherman quoted the prophets Joel and David with authority, weaving their words together to present the undeniable truth of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. He who had been an unstable follower was now the unshakable witness. The keys to the kingdom, promised to him not long before, were now firmly in his hand, and he used them to unlock the door of salvation that day for 3,000 precious children of God. In the chapters that follow, we see this awakened leadership in action. In Acts 3, Peter and John encounter a man lame from birth at the temple gate. The old Peter might have felt only pity, or perhaps even looked to Jesus to act. The new Peter, however, acted with the delegated authority of his Lord. "Silver and gold have I none," he declared, "but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Acts 3:1-10. Here was leadership in action, a faith that not only spoke but also healed, that not only believed but also empowered others. This newfound boldness is even more striking when Peter stood before the Sanhedrin in Acts 4, the very council that had condemned Jesus. The fear that once defined him was gone, replaced by a holy conviction. "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye," he stated, "for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." Acts 4:19-20. This was the voice of a leader forged in the fire of failure and then tempered by the grace of God. He had learned that true strength was not in avoiding the trial, but in trusting the one who leads us through it. Through his preaching and example, he began to lead the first harvest of Jewish believers, mentoring the fledgling community of believers with a shepherd's heart and an apostle's authority. Retraining the spiritual senses. Peter's journey was not yet complete. The promise he declared on Pentecost was for all who are far off, Acts 2:39, a phrase whose profound depth surely even he had yet to comprehend. His heart and mind, though renewed, were still bound by centuries of cultural and religious tradition. God was about to stretch his understanding beyond the borders of Israel and into the Gentile world. The true breakthrough came through a vision on a roof in the city of Joppa. As recorded in Acts 10, God was not merely giving Peter a new command. He was fundamentally retraining Peter's spiritual senses, perception, understanding, discernment, desire, and experience. In a trance, Peter saw a great sheet descend from heaven, filled with animals his Jewish law had taught him were unclean. A voice commanded him, "Rise, Peter, kill, and eat." Acts 10:13. His initial reaction, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean," was instinctual. Acts 10:14-15. To his highly trained spiritual discernment, our spiritual sense of smell, the command seemed wrong. It was contrary to every precept he had ever known. But God was teaching him a new lesson, insisting, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." He was teaching Peter to discern the aroma of God's present will over the familiar scent of past tradition. This vision was a direct intervention to recalibrate his spiritual perception, our spiritual sense of sight. For his entire life, Peter had been taught to see the world as divided between clean and unclean, Jew and Gentile. God was now cleansing his heart's eyes, allowing him to perceive humanity not through the lens of the law, but through the boundless lens of grace. The lesson was not about food, but about people. God was showing him that the old boundaries he had always lived by were now changed with the opening of the gospel. This radical shift in perception was put to test immediately. Men from the house of Cornelius, a Roman centurion, arrived at his door. The old Peter would have turned them away, but the awakened Peter, his senses now open to the Spirit's leading, welcomed them. This welcome represented a new spiritual desire, or spiritual sense of touch. He was now willing to reach out and connect with those who had been previously forbidden. He traveled to Cornelius' house, entered the home of a Gentile, and uttered one of the most pivotal sentences in the history of the church. Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Acts 10:34. As he preached the gospel and the Holy Spirit fell upon the Gentiles, Peter engaged his final spiritual sense, experience or participation, our spiritual sense of taste. He fully partook in God's expanded plan by commanding that they be baptized, officially unlocking the door of the church to the entire world. His leadership had now moved from guiding the Jewish believers to opening the floodgates of salvation for all mankind. He had not only walked through a new door of faith himself, but he had graciously and patiently held it open for the entire body of Christ to follow. The Shepherd's Voice. The culmination of Peter's journey is not only seen in his actions in the book of Acts, but it is heard in his voice through his epistles. In his two epistles, we read the wisdom of a man who has completed his struggle. This is the fruit of a faith forged in fire, the counsel of a shepherd who knows the flock because he, too, is a sheep who was lost and then found. His words are not abstract. They are hard-won truths etched into his heart through experience. When Peter writes, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you," 1 Peter 4:12, he speaks with the authority of one who has endured the pain of many trials. The man who wept bitterly in a courtyard now teaches us that trials are not anomalies, but the very process by which our faith is proven genuine, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, 1 Peter 1:7. He learned in his darkest hour that the purpose of the fire is not to destroy, but to purify. Furthermore, we see the deep humility he learned from his greatest failure. He warns the church to be clothed with humility and to be sober, but be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5:5 and 8. This is not the voice of the self-confident man who boasted he would never deny his Lord. This is the voice of a man who knows firsthand what it means to be sifted by Satan. His warning carries the profound weight of personal experience. He gives us the very counsel he once desperately needed and failed to understand. Finally, the great theme of his life, the balancing of passionate love with heavenly truth, is summarized in his final charge. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:18. Peter's journey began with a heart full of grace and affection, but lacking in the deep, steadying knowledge of God's larger plan. Through painful trial and divine revelation, he learned that a mature faith requires both. His entire life became a testament to his truth, and his final recorded words are a loving command for us to pursue the same beautiful, life-giving balance. Peter's Legacy, a Blueprint for Our Journey. From the shores of Galilee to the courtyard of a Roman centurion, Peter's faith journey is a testament to the transformative power of God. He was not a flawless biblical hero, but a flawed human who allowed God to turn his greatest weaknesses into profound strengths. His impetuous passion was disciplined into purposeful courage. His devastating denial was redeemed into a deep, empathetic understanding of grace. His narrow cultural worldview broadened into a universal vision of God's love. Peter's story is a profound encouragement for our own journey. It teaches us that the stages of our walk, from initial interest to moments of fear and seasons of despair, are not signs of a failing faith, but necessary parts of the process that lead to our own renewal. Our Lord is a master craftsman who wastes none of our experiences. Our struggles, our questions, and even our bitter tears of failure are the very tools he uses to shape us, to complete our faith by balancing the convictions of our hearts with the understanding of our minds. The Apostle Peter's life shows that the goal of the Christian journey is not perfection, but to remain in a state of submission to the one who is perfecting us. Peter learned to find meaning in his suffering, to see God's purpose in his trials, and to use his own story of redemption to inspire others. Like Peter, we are called to be lifelong learners at the feet of the Master, allowing him to stretch our minds, heal our hearts, and equip us for a service greater than we could ever imagine. Let us embrace our own journey with the same courage, knowing that the same Lord who took a fisherman and made him a fisher of men is still at work, transforming flawed followers into bold and effective leaders for his kingdom.